in this study on He is Coming Back, we're looking at end time prophecies. What does the Bible tell us about the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ? All right, there are a lot of promises that the Bible makes to us. We're going to look at some of those this morning. We've been looking at them all along. God makes some promises that we can look forward to in His coming, okay? There are a lot of signs that God has given to us that indicate that the time is getting closer. Now, as we've been saying all along, we'll talk more about this in a few minutes, but there's nothing that tells us the exact day and time, right? Okay? But there certainly are signs that we can be looking at to see that, indeed, these things are happening. Okay? And those signs indicate that He is keeping His promise. All right? And then there is the anticipation for those who are waiting for Him to come back. How much in your daily life are you anticipating the return of Christ Jesus? See? How much anticipation do you have? And we compare that to the anticipation of the Jews with the first coming of Christ, the Messiah, that they were anticipating, they were longing for and looking for His coming. And how much are we anticipating His return in our lives today? Okay? The prophecies that we have been looking at and look at this morning, they tell us two things we've been looking at. First of all, what His coming is going to look like. When He comes back again, what's going to happen? What visually, what's that going to look like? What are we going to see? And secondly, what will happen when He comes? What are the events that are going to unfold, okay? We began this study some weeks ago looking at three questions that the disciples asked Jesus that are recorded in Matthew chapter 24 when Jesus spoke concerning the destruction of Israel, of Jerusalem. All right? And Jesus went through and answered each one of those questions that have to do with not only the destruction of Jerusalem, but also His second coming and the end times. All right? Then we talked about the greatest hope and looking forward to the events that will happen when the Lord comes back again, that He's going to, those who are dead in Christ are going to rise to meet Him, and then those who are still alive are going to be taken up to meet Him. And Paul tells us those are things that we can encourage one another with. And we should have the greatest hope among all people as we look forward to and anticipate that event. We talked about the fact that the second coming of Christ will be a resurrection event. In other words, that in that resurrection, we're going to be given a new body. Those who are already dead in Christ when He comes will be risen from their graves, and they'll be given a new body. And those of us who are still alive will be taken up, and we will be changed, Paul says. We won't all sleep, but we will all be changed. So it is a resurrection event we saw in that part of our study. And last week, we looked at the day of the Lord, what Peter describes, what is going to happen on that day when the Lord comes back again. So this morning, we conclude this study in talking about the final judgment. We're going to be looking in the book of Revelation this morning. What does the Bible tell us? What do the prophecies say concerning what is going to happen when the Lord comes back again in the last days? All right? So, the final judgment. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about judgment, doesn't it? A lot of things in there. For instance, and we talked about this earlier in our study, the writer of Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We're going to die, okay? Most of us are going to die. As someone said, you ain't getting out of this thing alive, right? Okay? Now, unless you are one who will still be alive when the Lord comes back again, as we've already seen in our study, all right, we're going to die. But the most important thing is, after all of that has taken place, there's going to be a judgment. Okay? We saw in our study last week in 2 Peter, where Peter was talking about the Word of God that created the present world that we live in. And he says, by that same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for what? The day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So there is a day of judgment coming. For those out there in the world who say, no, there's no such thing. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody's going to be saved. We don't have to worry about a judgment. They're obviously not reading the Bible. Okay? Because it says a lot about it. Look at what John says. He wrote in 1 John 4, verses 16 and 17. Look at what he says. And these are encouraging words to us. All right? He says, we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And then look at verse 17. In this way, love is made complete among us. Why? I like this part. So that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. You see, so we need to understand, not only is there going to be a day of judgment, but God wants us, those who belong to him, he wants us to have confidence in that day. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been to court? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just kidding. Okay? You've been to court. How much confidence did you have going up before the judge? You see? You know, if you're like most people, you go up there and your knees are shaking and, you know, we don't have a whole lot of confidence when we go before a judge or a court, do we? It's like, are you guilty or not guilty? Here's the charge. Which is it? Guilty, Your Honor. You know, we're just so afraid to put it out there, you see? And then some brave souls will go, I didn't do it. I didn't do it at all. You say, that's the way I used to run into that all the time. I was in court all the time. And so, you know, people, you see them, and they're just scared to death. And that's the way we typically are when we face a judge in this world. But let me tell you, it's not going to be that way for his children in the final judgment. We don't have to worry about our knees shaking, you see. And we're going to have, he says, confidence before him in judgment. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Why? Because we don't have to fear what the judge is going to do if we belong to him. Now, you know, admit it. You got caught speeding or running a red light, right? And you go before the judge and you are afraid of what is he going to do? And that's why, you know, your knees are shaking and all those kind of things. With God, we don't have to worry about that. Isn't that wonderful? We go in the final judgment and we have confidence that he is going to keep his promises. What are those promises involved? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. But know that because he loves us so much, we can go to that final judgment and stand before him with confidence. Now, keep in mind, that's not confidence in ourselves, okay? Because if he reads down, you know, my life and all the stuff I've done, and he says, how do you plead? I have no choice but to say guilty. And by the way, so that you don't have to say that same choice is for you, right? Because we're all guilty. But the great thing is, he looks at our life and he says, I don't see any sin there. All I see is the blood of my son, Jesus. And that's why we can have this kind of confidence. He loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to save us. And it's based on that that we can have this confidence in the day of judgment as we stand before him. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Wonderful to have that kind of confidence. There's going to be a judgment, but those who belong to him have nothing to fear, but only confidence as we stand before him. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, okay? Doesn't matter how much money you had when you die. Doesn't matter how many people you know. Okay? You're still going to face a judgment. All of us have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? You don't get to look over and say, well, I'm with him or I'm with her. Okay? But the great thing about it is, when we stand before God in judgment, John writes to us in 1 John chapter 2, we're going to have a defense attorney, okay, that will be speaking on our defense. So we all have to stand before God in judgment, but we're not going to do it alone. We're going to have a defense attorney speaking for us. Isn't that wonderful? You see how God has laid this out? All right? He's given us a subpoena to come to court, okay? All right? We all got to go to court. But he has stacked the court in our favor. How often does that ever happen in this world? You say? But that's what God has done because he loves us so much. We need to be really careful, and we've seen this warning throughout our study of the false prophets that are out there. Ran across this one the other day. Do you know we only have 5 more years to wait? All right, this was 7 years ago. The day of judgment is January 1st, 2026. That's when it's all going to happen, okay? We got 5 more years to wait. I don't know what the climate change people are worried about. They're saying we only got 9 more years. According to this, we only got 5. All right? 5 more years is all we got. If somebody comes along and tells you that, what do you know about them? They're a false prophet. Okay, we saw earlier in our study, what did Jesus himself say? No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So that person who comes along and gives you a date and time when the final judgment is going to occur, you know that they're lying. It's that simple. Okay, because God did not tell them what his plans are. All right, so the judgment day. When that comes, what will it look like? We look at what John writes to us in Revelation, what was revealed to him for us. He gives us a picture of what it's going to look like on that when that judgment day comes. All right, let's take a look at some of those things. Beginning in chapter 20, verse 11, John says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. Okay, remember we've talked about earlier that we saw last week in our study, Peter talked about the present heavens and the present earth are going to be destroyed. Here John says they fled away and there was no place found for them. So it's not like they're put over on the side to wait for a while. He says there's no place for them. Okay? He says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So again, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter who you know, small or great, you're going to stand before God. All right? And he says, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged. There it is again. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 12. All right? So the books are open. And judgment. The sea, he says, verse 13, gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. The dead that were in them. And each person was, there it is again, judged according to what he had done. Right? The picture still unfolds. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This, he says, is the second death. So you see how these things are unfolding, okay? They're unfolding. These are the events that are going to take place. In verse 15 he says, and whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there's going to be this judgment, okay? And there's going to be reward or punishment. Look at this. This is just kind of a summary of those verses we just read. That all the unsaved dead are standing before God. Everyone. Okay? The books are open along with the book of life. The dead are judged by the things written in the books according to their works. And death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not written in the book of life cast into the lake of fire. Those are the events that John records for us that are going to take place on the day of the Lord. Okay? The new heaven and the new earth. What's that? What's going to take place next? What is this last day, this judgment day, what is that going to look like? We continue on. We saw previously, last week in our study, Peter, in talking about all of the present heavens and earth going to be destroyed and all the elements, and he says, but according to his promise, and again, that's what we've been looking at through this whole study, right? These promises that God has given us, he says, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I don't know about you, but as I read these things, I can just almost picture these events just unfolding one after another. Okay? In chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, here's what John saw. A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city. A new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. I'm looking forward to that day when we can see that holy city. And you go through and you read the description. We're not going to do that this morning, but I encourage you, go to Revelation and read the description of the holy city, what it's going to look like. And it's all in terms of things that you and I can relate to in this world, streets of gold and gates of pearls and emeralds and all. And it's really intended to give us the idea that it's going to be even more magnificent than anything we can even imagine. And that's what God has in store for us. And by the way, that's another reason why we can have confidence in the day of judgment. Look at what we have to look forward to. You say, the new Jerusalem. Okay? Another thing that's really great about this judgment, when it occurs, and the after effects of judgment, okay, that there's not going to be any tears there. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 4 of chapter 21. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So one of the great things that you and I have to look forward to in the New Jerusalem, okay, after the judgment has occurred, it is a place where there will be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. Okay? All of the ills that we have to deal with in this world will be gone. Remember that new body we talked about, that resurrection body? It will never get cancer. It will never get diabetes or any of the other diseases we have to deal with in this world. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have anything to cry about at all when the judgment comes. All right? And someone says, well, if that's the way it's going to be, why didn't he stop it all now? Why didn't he stop all the evil that's going on in the world right now? If he can do that later, why didn't he do it now? What is he waiting for? And remember, last week we talked about that. We saw what Peter had to say about that. Okay? That the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. Why? Because he doesn't want anyone to perish. But he wants to give everyone the opportunity to be able to enjoy that new Jerusalem and all the blessings that come with it. He will, in his time, and that time when only he knows, he will stop all the evil. And then the judgment will come. But until then, those things are going to go on. But always remember that God is in control. All right? In verses 6 through 8, he goes on to say this. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." And look at verse 7. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things." And we were talking about the inheritance this morning in our Bible class. And all the blessings that we get as being children of God, we get an inheritance. And he's promising us that right here. Okay? "We shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but there are only two options here. Okay, did you realize that? There are only two options. There's either receiving the inheritance from God, or there's the lake of fire. All right, there's no sitting on the fence. There's no middle ground. There's no purgatory. There's no other option to be. It's one or the other. Those who belong to God receive the inheritance. Those who don't, the lake of fire. See? The only two choices there are. And then finally, we look at this. He says, "Behold, I am coming." Now, we've been seeing all along through this study the different things that it tells us about him coming back, right? And here before John, he declares, "I am coming." All right? Verse 7 of chapter 22. "Behold, I am coming soon," he says. Soon. "Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Look, he says in verse 12, "I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what they have done." He's coming. He's coming. He's coming soon, he says. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." God establishes his supremacy in the world and his everlasting nature. And then in verse 14, "Blessed are those," look at this, "blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city." See? In other words, we get an entry pass, right? We get a pass to go into the city. And that pass is written out in the blood of Jesus. So we get to go into the city of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. We get to go in and live there. But he says outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. In other words, they are not going to be allowed in the city. All right? They're not going to be allowed in. Because they don't have a ticket that's written in the blood of Jesus. They don't have an entry ticket. So they're going to remain outside. Yes, he says, that is a promise. It's a guarantee. Yes, I come quickly. Now, you have to remember, as we saw last week, you know, coming soon, coming quickly is not on our time schedule, is it? It's on God's time schedule. But that's a promise. He is coming. And he's coming quicker. As Chuck was alluding to earlier when he was getting ready to lead the songs, you know, every day that we live, what happens? We get closer to that, don't we? You see? All right. He is going to come soon. So, don't be caught dead without Jesus. Okay? You think about all the things that we've been talking about through this study. Jesus is coming back. Don't be caught dead without him when he comes. All right? So here's a question for you to think about. Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Okay? Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Now, we go all the way back to Acts chapter 1. And here's an important passage that has to do with the coming of Christ, okay? When Jesus ascended to heaven, when he was here the first time, and he went back to heaven, the disciples are there gathered. And it says here they were looking intently into the sky as he was going. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, and look at what they said, why do you stand here? Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Why do you stand here? Now, I believe that they asked that question not because they were just physically standing there, standing around, but because they weren't doing anything. Okay? In other words, they have the information. He's coming back, and so it's kind of like what they're saying is, well, what are you doing standing here for? And I'm saying the same thing to all of us. Let's not just stand around waiting for the Lord to come back. We've got work to do. Okay? We've got work to do. So let's not just stand around looking up waiting for him. Is he coming back today? No, let's be doing the work that he's given us to do. Because when we do that, as we saw in our study last week, Peter says, in that way, we're not only looking forward to the day of the Lord, but we're speeding its coming. So don't just be standing around waiting. Let's be doing what he's told us to do. Let's be sharing the gospel with as many people as we can so that the day of the Lord will come quicker. All right? Jesus could come back today. The question we've been asking all along through this study is, are you ready? Are you ready for him to come back? Now, as we think about that and all of the things that we've been studying through this, I hope, and my original goal for this study was that it would call our attention to, first of all, the fact that he is coming back. And secondly, too, that we have got to be ready when he does. There's not going to be any chance when he comes back for us to get ready. We need to be ready now. Okay? And what I wanted to do, what I hope to accomplish from this, is that we would see this as the serious thing that it really is. He is coming back. Okay? Are we taking that seriously? Are we prepared for his return? Okay? And that means a couple of different things. Number one, are you saved? Okay? Are you saved? Now, it doesn't mean that, yeah, I got baptized way back when. That means, have I been baptized? Have I had my sins washed away? And am I living my life for Christ? Okay? If there's something standing in the way between you and God, you need to get rid of that. Or otherwise, you'll be left here when all those who belong to the Lord are taken up to meet him. And that will be a sad, sad moment for you. So don't wait. You say, don't wait. There's something that we can do to help you. Right? To help you to be more of what God wants you to be, then we want to do that. Okay? All you got to do is let us know. If there are prayers that are needed by anyone, let us know what that is and we'll bring you before the Lord, or your circumstance or situation, whatever you have, we'll bring that before the Lord. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if there's someone out there who is not yet a Christian, I hope that as you've been listening to these lessons that you see how important it is for you to be ready when the Lord comes back again. So if you're not yet a Christian, if you haven't given your life to Christ, then I urge you to do so before it is forever too late. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, then repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that as soon as is possible for you to contact us at any one of these two phone numbers. Let us know that that's your desire, and we will make arrangements for that to happen as soon as is possible with you. All right? But again, we can't do that if we don't know about it. Chuck is going to come up and lead us in an invitation song. And while the songs are on the screen, the phone numbers for Dale and Wes will be up there on the bottom of the songs. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if you have a prayer request or a need that we can address, all you got to do is text either one of these brethren, and we will address your prayer need, prayer request. For those who are here with us physically, all you got to do is come up and let me know. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. And Wesley and I will be right up front. Let's stand together and sing.